Welcome to the No Lux Left Behind podcast, the world's first podcast dedicated solely to unboxing the allure of luxury handbags and the resale market.
We're Monica and Erica, luxury consignment entrepreneurs with over a decade of experience. Whether you're a shopper, a seller, or listening for the laughs, you'll always get unfiltered knowledge here. Let's get started.
Business owner and startup entrepreneur by day and luxe shopping connoisseur by night, she bestows upon us the ways of investment shopping and how to make the best luxury purchases.
Her daily Instagram unboxing videos are captivating, just like her energy, and soon she'll be launching her YouTube channel so that we can all enjoy even more of her contagious and infectious personality.
Ladies and gentlemen, she is the one and only Currently Carter.
Welcome, everyone, Currently Carter.
Hey!
We are so excited to have you on the podcast.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
We're such big fans of yours.
Oh, sorry. Say it again.
No, we're just such big fans of yours.
Oh, good. I love you guys from afar. We haven't ever chatted before. This is going to be fun.
It's so weird because I feel like we've developed like a lovely digital friendship, but we've never met in real life.
Right? Isn't that crazy? I mean, I feel like IG has done that for me on so many levels with so many girls like across the world, really. And I was like, man, all those years of me like being like, oh, the Midwest never has anybody that I can be friends with or whatever. Like, I should have started an IG when I was 16 and I would have never like been a lack for friends ever in my life.
Sure. I know. There's like such a fun, tight-knit like network, I feel like, on Instagram in our space.
Exactly. It is. It's really like a joy. I can't believe how many really like genuinely good friends that I've met just popping into my DMs and then being like, oh my gosh. And then me being like, oh my God. And then we talk for 4 hours and now they're going to be my bridesmaids. Like,
yeah.
I've never met them. Like, all my only vision is their IG pictures.
Oh my God. Do you remember how we met? Kind of like met, like e-met. Digital met.
Okay. I was trying to remember this. Did you tag me on a TikTok that you guys did? Or is that not the first time we met? Okay. Okay.
So we actually did a TikTok video when we first really started out, agreeing with you on your take on leather surgeons.
Right. Yes.
Yes. And you did like an Ask Me Anything on Instagram, and we screenshot that and did a little TikTok video.
Yes.
I love that.
You want to know a secret about that one? So that is, if you guys don't know what we're talking about, they screenshotted a, it's like a little beige iridescent wok from Chanel. And I actually made that. It's actually a wallet. And I took it to Leather Surgeons to add that chain. And now it's like a walk. And I got that wallet pre-loved for like $300 because it was in rough condition. Send it to Leather Surgeon, $300, iridescent beige. If you guys don't know, iridescent beige is like crazy hard to find. So it was in rough condition, right? Send it to them. They totally redid it. And then I got on the phone literally with Leather Surgeons. And I was like, guys, how do we make a chain on this that doesn't look tacky, that doesn't ruin the wallet, that we can remove later if I wanted to, that doesn't devalue this at all? And we like chit-chatted and came up with a plan, and he stitched it inside the wallet. So the chain actually kind of goes around, but it could just be removed with thread later. And it's literally my pride and joy. I'm all about it. It's like a $400 person.
How do they, like, iridescent must be really hard to fix. Literally, yeah. I feel like they're magicians.
Right? Yes. That was my first question. I was like, this is iridescent. Is there no hope for me? And they were like, no, we can figure it out. I think they did like pearl dust in the paint that they end up like airbrushing on or whatever.
That's just a guess.
This is not sponsored. There's other ones too. We can name other ones too if you'd like.
For sure. Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Well, that's also a good point in what we always say, where it's like, don't be afraid of a fixer upper.
Right? Every time. There's so many people that are too scared of them. And those are where all the like the amazing deals are found, I feel like.
Absolutely. Because as soon as something gets a little nick or the corner gets rubbed or something, people are intimidated by that. Mm-hmm. And I think that people don't want to go through the process. But if you're willing to like ship, first of all, Leather Surgeons, like, so easy to work with them. But I imagine there are a bunch of companies that are very easy to work with. Right? Like, you literally get the item, ship it to them. They send you a label in most cases.
Uh-huh.
And you just wait, 2, 3, 4 weeks sometimes?
Yep. And then today back and it's gorgeous.
Like a fresh as Jeff new bag.
Uh-huh. Have you guys seen Rago Brothers Instagram? We're giving out all the tidbits. This is Girl Chat, though, so it's fine.
We've heard of that a lot.
Oh my God. They are like actual gods. I don't understand. They take shoes that are literally half gone, eaten by a large pit bull, and they remake the whole shoe. I don't understand. Their before and after pictures are literally, I follow them only to just be like shocked every day at what they do.
They're a whole other level. We have to follow them.
Yeah, you really
do. As soon as we're done recording.
Do yourself a favor. They're crazy, crazy. Like, that's all, I think that they've kind of become known for that. So, I mean, they rebuild the whole shoe. Things that are like Louboutin, like really unique leathers, and it's been eaten by an actual dog, and they redo the leather. Like, I don't understand. You look at it and you're like, that doesn't make any, that shouldn't be possible. Like, it doesn't make sense.
Oh my gosh, love it.
Anyways.
Wow. Oh my gosh. So, okay. So Miss Currently Carter, we know you have a passion for luxury, but tell us, where did that passion come from? Where did it start?
Okay, well, I've kind of always been a collector. And I've always pretty much been a shoes and bags person. Back in the day, like when Coach was in its heyday, which, you know, mm-hmm. Coach is kind of coming back, especially in England.
Have you guys noticed that?
Yeah, I'm like, okay, Coach, we see you. But when it was in its heyday, I was like collector of Coach, loved it. And I kind of always been the person that like hunts out and like finds really good deals on things. And so I used to go to like Tanger outlets, and because there was like a few days in the year that Coach would be like on extra sale, and I would go and take like a budget for one Coach bag at retail, and I would go and buy like five at like the, you know, the outlet, and then I would kind of build my there's kind of that side of it, right? Just on mm-hmm. me. And then my mom was always kind of a lover of luxury as well. And she actually had this funny memory of when I was like 16 and we were in Louis Vuitton and she was buying a bag. And I was like, Mom, what are you doing? That bag is like $850. RIP those prices.
I know, not that much anymore now. It's like, here's your wallet.
I literally had to apologize to her the other day. I was like, Mom, do you remember when I told you that? Like, I'm sorry that I ever questioned you. Because what was I thinking?
I know. You should have been encouraging her. Buy everything.
Yes,
buy everything.
I know, right? Mom, investment now. So that kind of where it blossomed. But really what happened was, because I've always kind of been, business is like my whole world, and finance and money is like just the way my brain works. And I used to go and find like epic little stores, you know, that like Second Avenue, for instance, on the East Coast, they buy in bulk and then they sell really well. So they'll be like 100% wool coats for really like way less. So nothing name brand. And then I found a place called Name Brand Clothing, which they buy in bulk from like big department stores like Dillard's, et cetera. And they sell it for half of half the price. It's called Name Brand Clothing, half of half, right? So I used to go there and then buy like in bulk. I would be like, oh my God, I got like 7 dresses for $100 instead of going to the mall and getting, you know, just one dress for $100 at Dillard's. And I loved that because it really started building, you know, my closet and my collection. I got a lot of things for a little bit of money. But at the end of that, I realized that I was spending $100 to get those 5 shirts and dresses. And at the end of that, I lost my $100. And if I would invest that in something that holds its value, when I go spend that $100, or if I add to it and spend $500, I can use it for 5 years, use the death out of it even. And then at the end of it, I still have my $500. And how much more does that make sense for me spending money? If I'm going to spend money on anything, might as well spend money on something that's going to hold its value, and later I don't lose any money. That's for kind of sure. What made my love for luxury really bloom when I figured that out.
Nice. And what do you think it means to invest in handbags?
Like, for people that don't know,
because
don't
people don't understand.
Yeah. Okay. Listen, guys, this is my world. Welcome to my TED Talk. I'm so passionate about this.
This is the game for your TED Talk.
I, I love to reference houses because I feel like it's the exact same thing. Everybody loves to say when I say like, yeah, it'll hold its value. They're like, yeah, but I don't ever resell my stuff. And that's totally okay. I hardly resell my stuff either. And the things that I do are not usually things that I've kept for a long time. And the reason is, it doesn't matter if you're actually going to resell it later. If I buy a Chanel purse, for instance, that is $2,000, what we know is that Chanel does price increases every single year. And that's not a new thing. We've known that since the 80s. Every single year, consistently, they've done one to multiple price increases. So it's the same exact thing as the housing market. You buy a house now and then you live in it for 20 years and you resell it for hopefully more than it's than you bought it for. And that's the housing market, right? That's investing. Same thing with Chanel. Since we have that information that Chanel is going to do price increases every year, you can buy Chanel now and then use it, right? Use it, like love it, you know, beat it up, the whole thing. And in 5 or 10 years, the price of that bag will have gone up every single year. 5 or 10 years, you can sell it for, let's say, $3,000 because, again, you bought it for that original $2,000. Now they're worth $5,000 because of those price increases or even more. So when you sell it for $3,000, you made all of your money back out of that original purchase, right? Which is the whole point of investing. And you made profit and you gave somebody else a deal because you have to give them a deal if it's been used, for example. And that's investing. That is investment purchasing. So it's not necessarily that you're buying to resell, even if you decided to buy it and absolutely never resell it because you wanted to keep it in your closet forever. You're building your investment portfolio, right? Like you now have something that still holds its value and still is worth money instead of spending money on, you know, a regular name brand or going to, you know, the mall and just going to any basic store and spending $200. And now you've lost $200 and you're never going to get that back when you resell it because it ends up in a garage for $1 a piece or whatever. Perfect. So that's kind of the concept behind investment and luxury. So many people, I hear it all the time and it's always like, oh, don't spend money on stupid things. But in reality, if you really think about it, luxury is like the least stupid purchase that you could possibly make.
Yes, absolutely.
Amen. Value. Yeah. Like you're buying something that holds its value. You're spending money, you know, at Dillard's or, you know, Forever 21 or whatever for those loafers that are cost you $30 and now you lost $30. So the stupid one is not me.
I love it. I love it. Listen, so what do you think about, like, is Chanel, I mean, everybody thinks of investment bags as like the Birkin, right? The Mama Jamas, like right. The Birkin, mm-hmm. the Chanel Classic. But what if that price point is like out of reach for people? Like, is there somewhere else that they could be investing besides a $6,000, $7,000, $12,000 bag?
Right, absolutely. So I don't even buy retail and I have a large closet. I've been doing this for a little while. I love Chanel, but I don't buy retail now either. What I do is I buy pre-loved because when you're talking about investment, right, you kind of have to figure out who you are. Are you buying for the fact that you love that YSL Toy Lulu and it's like the best thing you've ever seen and you're going to wear it every day for like the rest of the foreseeable future because it's like your favorite thing in the whole world? Because that is not investment. That would be buying for something that you love and that you're going to get what we call cost per wear out of. So sure, the value of that bag isn't necessarily going to go up as much as a Chanel would, but you're going to wear it so much that you're going to get that $600, you know, to $1,000 back out of it. And you're okay with what, quote unquote, losing that money, you know, because you're getting value out of it, right? It's not like you're losing that money to nothing. You're getting the wear out of that item. Now it's even better when you can do that with something that you can make profit on later. So if, you know, retail Chanel isn't in your budget right now, which I don't usually do that either, because that would be what I would call a long-term investment. Like you have to keep that $6,000 Chanel bag, $7,000 Chanel bag, anything, you know, cause those are what they cost for the classic double flaps. Now, if you're not following me, and those classic Chanel ones are those are the ones that typically have the highest value, just for everyone listening.
Yeah.
And so if you have those, you know, classic Chanel double flaps that are costing $7,000 now, a long-term investment would be buy retail now and then sell it for, you know, 10 in 5 or 10 years. But I'm not necessarily a long-term investor. I much prefer like a shorter term. So what I do is I research very, you know, thoroughly about what vintage Chanel bags look like. And I go hunting. And I hunt for someone else that has done what I just explained, but much earlier than me, right? They bought a Chanel bag in the 80s for $1,000. Now that same exact, you know, Chanel double flap medium gold hardware is worth $6,800 retail. So they're doing what I just explained. They bought it for $1,000. They're selling it for $3,000. I buy it for that $3,000, love it, use it. I don't even have to baby it because it already has some love on it, right? It's that pre-love condition. And I can, you know, live my life, use my bags, not have to worry about it. But in a year, I could get all of that $3,000, if not $4,000 or $5,000 out of it, because that bag right now is still worth $7,000. I know I'm throwing another lot of numbers at you. Sorry.
No, but
are you following me?
I literally this is the best explanation we have heard.
Oh, good, good. So it's like, because I totally get it. Like, that's a lot of money and you kind of have to like wrap your head around it. But if you're like, who are you? Are you buying for the fact of you're building your investment portfolio? Or are you buying because you absolutely love and you're going to wear forever? Hopefully you can like mold those two worlds, buy something you absolutely love, you're going to wear to death and just like get all of your cost per wear out of. And at the end of it, you still have something that's worth $3,000, $4,000. You could sell at any point if you needed to, you know? So it's I feel like such a better way to shop and, you know, so much more sustainable way to shop. And you get so much more value out of your purchases than just losing money all the time, essentially. Money comes in and it goes out and you never have the opportunity to get that $200, $300, you know, $30 back, whatever you spent at, you know, your basic mall.
True.
Girl, you are schooling the people.
School the people. Yes. I told you, this is my world. Welcome.
I love it. Honestly, I was like a little bit of a nerd in college. So like I'm sitting here like, okay, I want to take notes.
Yeah.
Love it.
We're gonna be replaying this like as I edit, Eric is gonna be like, play back. I just want to hear it one more time.
Well, too, just because I know it's so much money, right? And I really struggled with this initially when I hadn't spent a lot of money on bags, and it's unnerving and it's like makes you like really apprehensive because all of a sudden you're spending like a whole bunch of money on something that you have never spent that much money on before, which again, super similar to a house, right? All of a sudden you're going into like a crazy amount of, you know, quote unquote debt, depending on how you buy for your house, and you have to like live with that. So it's like this unnerving thing. But if when in reality, if you know what you love, don't settle for something less expensive just to kind of cope that, you know, emotional kind of ride. Because when you do that, what you're doing is you're buying something you don't actually love as much. So you're not going to wear it as much. And then all of a sudden you don't have the value of it later as much because you didn't get a, you know, a classic that was a little bit more expensive that we can guarantee is going to go up in price. So I always say, because people say, what should I get for my first bag? Guys, get the your holy grail bag that you were like, this is the thing that I'm going to buy when I have made it, that it's like my creme de la creme bag. Buy that bag first.
Yes.
Like, you know, do your research, find that bag pre-loved, find that bag, you know, in another market across the world where your exchange rate is in your favor, like Australia, for instance, their prices are much more expensive for them. But for when they converted to US prices, they're a lot less expensive. Find that bag. And so now you have the bag that you absolutely love and you kept your money in it for it, you know, for later, instead of buying something like, I really want a Chanel jumbo classic, but you buy a, you know, Louis Vuitton AMA instead because it's way less expensive. But you took, like, listen to me.
Don't settle. Carter.
It's not worth it to buy up the tiers, because when you're in a reality, you've bought, you know, three bags that were less expensive over the period of, you know, 3 years or something, when in reality, you could have taken that money and probably bought the holy grail bag of your dreams in 2 years, you know, like you could have figured it out. And that bag typically is going to retain its value a lot longer and a lot and have a lot more profit, you know, on the end of it. So, yeah. Anyways, tangent over. Sorry.
No, sure. It's all super useful information for everyone listening.
That's what the people are here for.
Yeah. Put them on. So we had some questions from followers.
Oh, good. Okay.
We're going to start with this one. Well, I think you kind of answered it earlier, but when did you start your collection?
Okay. So I started, let's see, when I was 23 and I got my first major paycheck. And again, finance nerd, like, you know, business nerd. So I opened a Roth IRA. And I was like, brilliant, I'm 23, a Roth IRA, which is an investment portfolio for anyone that's not a finance nerd like me. And it's basically for your retirement, and it does compound interest, right? So I was like, I'm going to open a Roth IRA, and I'm going to put my first paycheck into it, and I'm going to get all that compound interest, and I'm going to be a millionaire by the time I'm 65, just in compound interest. And then I went to Louis Vuitton, and I bought a GM Neverfull instead.
Yes.
But girl, listen, that GM Neverfull I bought for $950, and now it is worth $108,000. Oh my gosh, what math? $1,800, right?
Yes.
So doubled my money. You know, listen, it's not a compound interest of Roth IRA. Definitely still do the Roth IRA. Still did it. But that's where it really sparked. And
you have to just, sometimes you have to diversify.
Right?
Yes, that's exactly. Part, right?
Diversification. That's what I did. Yes.
That's exactly what it was.
But I loved it, and I wore it every single day. And I just really did a ton of research about like what was going to be my first kind of big purchase. And now still love that bag. I have the Louis Vuitton carry-on, and I put that on top of it. So I still use it all of the time, even though it was my first purchase. And I love it to death, and it's worth double its value now, you know? So when I did that, I kind of got the picture of what I was saying earlier when I loved that bag, but my next bag that I really wanted was the black double flap Chanel in any size. I didn't even care. I just wanted the black double flap Chanel because it just felt like it was classy. It was me. It was like everything that I wanted in a bag. And I was like, man, this bag that I just bought that Louis Vuitton was $1,000. And it's just not that much more realistically to try to figure out for the Chanel. So instead of buying another Louis Vuitton that I'll probably really like, but I love that Chanel, I should just like pause, figure it out, do my own research, and figure out how to get it for a really good price and how to get it reloved. So that's what I did. My very next bag was the black Chanel double flap in size small from
you leveled up,
right? Yeah. But guys, now my money is in something that's worth something. You know, I didn't have to go through all those phases of bags until I was, you know, 40 by the time I could afford the Chanel double flap. So I love that I did it like that. I feel like it was the best decision.
For sure. So speaking of like the bags that you love, what is one bag in your collection that brings you true joy and why?
Is it?
Oh God, I can't wait for the story. I know, I can't wait.
So is it really lame to say the one that I got the best deal on and has the most value now? Is that a really lame way to say joy?
No.
I hate buying depreciating assets, guys. So what brings me joy is making money.
Yes.
Girl after my own
heart.
That
should bring everyone joy.
Right? Okay, so found a niche, an anomaly in the algorithm, right? Where Dior doesn't hold its value as much, which doesn't make sense. Nobody makes sense of it, right? Like, it's so confusing. They're gorgeous bags. They're classic. They do price increases every year, but for some reason.
No, and it's like everybody wants them, but then like nobody buys them. Right? It's like so bizarre.
It's so bizarre. It's the weirdest
thing.
They're
so hard to get. And then when you get them, people don't want them. It's so
right. Weird. It's an anomaly in like the matrix of luxury buying. Nobody understands why Dior doesn't hold its value. So for anyone listening, the Lady Dior is like basically the Chanel classic flap, right? It's the same kind of tier in the classics. So the Lady Dior, though, is like $5,800 in store. And because of that anomaly, you can get them for, you know, way less on the pre-loved market because they just don't sell. They don't hold their value as well as like a Chanel or something else. So I went to the Asian market, because not only is the exchange rate in our favor, but you can get like really good deals depending, you know, obviously you want to be super careful. And I'm at this point done hours and hours and hours of research, and I know what's real and what looks real. And I've held the real thing in my hand for long enough to be able to kind of tell. So wouldn't necessarily recommend this unless you, you know, really dive into it. But I went and found a black gold hardware medium Lady Dior for $450.
No.
What? I don't understand how. It looked okay,
literally,
listen.
I died.
Listen, it was like rough in the photos. And I was like, all right, it's fine. It's $450. We'll send it to a repair shop. We'll butter her up. It doesn't, you know, hold its value long term anyway. So I just want to hold it. I wanted a top handle bag, is really what I wanted. And so I got it. The picture was, you know, it looked like it was going to need some work. It got here and it was freaking pristine vintage condition. And I don't understand why. It looks so nice. I did not even send it to the repair shop. I don't understand. And guys, you don't even understand how many times that has happened to me where the pictures are just so bad and you think, oh, fixer upper for sure. And then it gets here and it looks 4 million times better in person. Like,
well, because oftentimes people are like selling their, in my, obviously in what we do, right? Like there are other resellers that like, they're great resellers, but they don't know how to photograph their stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Use that to your advantage, guys.
Yeah. It's like, for sure, it like devalues the item. Right. So they can't get as much money for it because the item is photographed poorly.
Yep.
So the photographs are what's going to sell the product. Mm-hmm. And when the photographs are awful, then you can't get as much money for it. And ta-da, you have a deal.
Right. Exactly. And guys, nobody thinks deals exist, and that's why nobody looks for them. Like 100% what it is. Like, everybody thinks that those pictures are super accurate and like they take them at face value and they're like, oh, well, if somebody photographed like that, then for sure it's like, you know, really rough. Like, and I think too, we tend to think that people would do things the same as us or the people that we're around and in our environment. So you would take a really good picture and like try to, you know, really get all the angles and everything. But somebody else who has, you know, 200 bags in their luxury collection and could kind of care less, and then they told their daughter to resell some of their bags because they, you know, wanted to make a few thousand dollars or whatever, and the daughter doesn't know how much that thing is worth at all, takes a picture of it, pops it on Poshmark. That kind of thing happens all the time.
All the time.
It is not myth.
For sure. There's so much undervalued stuff out there and like opportunities to get a deal.
Right.
For sure.
And just because you don't have people in your environment that do that kind of thing, you think it doesn't exist. But in reality, it does all day.
Yeah. Just have to like put the time into it. Yeah. If you really want to look for a great deal.
Right.
You know.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. And guys, I feel like there's two kind of different categories here, right? There's the hunters of people that like want to do hours of research and want to, you know, go into the store and like fuss over the fact of like, what does that particular gold hardware look like? And then go back on the internet and try to find it on the pre-loved market and try to figure out what would be a fake and all the things and like really get into it. Right. And you're going to find really good deals like that. And then there's people who that makes them want to vomit and they would never want to do that. And listen, you are the perfect customer for consignors. That is who you are. Right. Let somebody else do all of that research for like, what, a 10% markup. You're going to pay them like a few extra $100. So you don't have to do any of that. That's like paying somebody for a service that's well worth it to you. So I feel like people get bent out of shape that they're not getting the best deal. And like, you know, if they want, like, no, pay someone like Season 2 Cuisine to do all of that research for you, to pay for like guaranteed authenticity, know what they're doing, pay them a little bit extra than, you know, you hunting for hours and hours and hours of whatever. And on top of that, you're still getting a good deal. It's not like you're not getting a great deal for what it's worth at retail value. You know, like know who you are and own
that,
it.
I'm gonna slice that up and use that as a marketing
commercial.
I'm kidding.
No, definitely. Know who you are, own it. If you're not the researcher, if you're not the hunter, like be the best customer for a consignor and let them work for you. Let, you know, pay them for their expertise.
For sure. I love that. So, okay. So we know what your, like the bag that brings you joy and we know why. So have you ever had a purchase or a bag that you regretted?
So I am like, if you can't tell, super analytical. So I kind of have a lot of pride in the fact that like I run 4 million different kinds of scenarios before I ever make a purchase. Like, you know, I am like analytical out the wazoo. So not really, because I tend to like not necessarily buy on impulse and buy on just like straight, like doing that really quickly, right? And just like, you know, running all the things. But again, I'm a hunter, right? I'm a hunter. I know all this. I know what the market values for things are. I, you know, look at it every day. I have a group of friends that are hunters too, and we like to chat about them and, you know, so I tend not to make those. But the great thing about buying luxury is if you do buy a bag that you don't necessarily, you know, love later, you wear three times and you don't like it, guess what? You didn't lose your money. It's the best thing ever because you can resell it for the same money that you bought it for.
Guys, there are pieces in all of our collections that we just don't reach for anymore. Make those pieces work for you.
We offer insanely competitive commission rates whereby you keep 60 to 80% of your sale with no extra hidden fees. We make it easy and all digital, including payments at the end of the month.
If you have handbags, SLGs, or accessories you just don't reach for anymore, slide into our DMs in Instagram at season2consign.com or go to season2consign.com to get started consigning with us.
Yes.
It's like,
exactly. List.
But let's see. You bought those heels from Forever 21 for $30 and now you hate them. Guess what? Good luck with that because you lost $30.
You You're right.
I fashion.
It's true. We are the same. You are me and I am you. Right. Okay, so we know that like you've never truly regretted a purchase.
Right.
But my question, just to bounce off of that, is have you ever missed out on something for being so analytical?
So I do.
Like, has anything, like maybe it sold under your nose, right, or sold too fast, wasn't yours, and like oh, I regret not getting that.
Yeah, totally. That's absolutely like the fine line that you have to play. Typically, if I'm, you're really getting my strategies out now. Typically, if I want to analyze something a little bit more, and you know, I'm not totally sure, then I will start a payment plan with that person or with that whatever, ask if that's possible. Because at least if I'm at the end of it, if I'm not totally sure if I want to keep it, when I can, you know, pay it all off, and I'll in that time frame, I'll find a new place to resell it to.
Ah, there you go. There you go.
Right? So it's like, if I have that 30 days and I'm not, you know, totally sure, and I find out, actually, you know what, never mind, then I still have that little bit of buffer of time as I'm paying it to find another consignor or to resell it on, you know, I'll post it up, and that way somebody else will buy it and I could just use that money to pay it off and then send it to them, kind of thing. That's typically what I do when I'm like really not sure, but there have been a few that have got away. And I'm still devastated over this beige tweed that Chanel double Ooh. Flap. It's actually on my Q&A highlights, yeah, on my stories. If anyone's curious.
Let's have a little dark place though.
Sterling Carter, look at my Q&A highlights. Go to that bag. If you ever see it, I will be forever in your debt. I owe you my firstborn. Because I have never seen it again and it is so upsetting.
Oh, there was like I know that feeling. Yeah. I hate that feeling. Yeah. Ugh,
that's the worst.
It really
feeling.
Is. It's just it's so upsetting. It was like, you know, especially when you like really love something and you come up with like 15 different outfits you're gonna wear with it, and like you're never gonna
be the staple. You can like picture your life. Like you can picture your lives together.
All of a sudden, you have to break up with it. Like you've been dumped, and it wasn't even your fault. Like,
exactly. You had a blissful weekend together.
Oh yeah.
Imagining your life together, and now it's over before it even started.
Right. Oh, so upsetting. All for it was how I lost it. It was a misunderstanding on the PayPal, and then they went to the next person to sell it because like they didn't even contact me. They didn't contact me. They didn't ask me like, hey. Like, you know, misunderstanding here, like blah, 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 like nothing. And they just, and then I was like, hey, why isn't this been deducted from my account? Like, and they were like, oh, we told it to the next person. I was like, I'm sorry, what?
Oh my God.
I was like, no. No, you did not. I was like, you know, when you get like those memes of those like dogs tapping on the keyboard, like blah, 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 blah. That was me.
All right. So, but where can the people find this? That's on your IG, right?
Yeah, it's on my Q&A. I think someone had asked me a similar question or what one of my favorite bags was or whatever, and it's there. So you tap over a few times in that Q&A on those highlights, and you'll see it. It's I think it's 19B is the season, and it's this like amazing beige tweed with like a few different colors running through it. It's like red and blue and has like a few like sheery, that's not a word, shiny threads. And it's just so perfect. I just love it. So but what I did,
everybody listening, yes, yeah. Make sure everyone listening, now you are on the hunt.
Right?
Because yes. We need to find this bag.
Find this bag. If you own this bag. But the thing is, it so that bag right now, obviously it's worth $6,800, but I was getting it for $4,000. So, you know, don't try to tempt. Yeah, that's also what hurts so much, right? Just because it was such a good,
you were getting a deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Erica looks like she wants to pass out.
I would have passed out. I'm reliving this. I have to relive this twice now. Oh, yeah. It was, but guys, redemption. So, what I did is I found that same pattern, that same tweed, was in Chanel espadrilles. And so I bought those outright and just, you know, and I live vicariously through my espadrilles when I wear them.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. That's
right. It's in the same pattern. It's in the same fabric, you know. It's not a bag, yeah, but, you know.
It's
good. gotta get a win where you can.
Yes. So I think this question from a follower is a great one, too. So you are a businesswoman. You are obviously very much involved in the luxury community on social media. So they want to know, where do you get all of your energy? Because like, okay, for people listening, just to preface this, like, if you don't follow her on Instagram, you need to go follow at Currently Carter, because
unboxings,
daily unboxings every day are literal. Like, they're so fun. You have so much energy. Like, they're just, they really are captivating. So again, so where do you get your energy from?
I love it. So it's actually funny because I get that question a lot in my DMs, which is obviously new people. They watch me the first time and then I'm like, oh my God, super giddy and excited about like, you know, some funny thing that I bought on sale or whatever. And they're like, are you this happy all the time? Like, yeah. It's a thing that I do. I feel like
my thing.
Right? I what I kind of always bond is I love finding joy in like the smallest, most ridiculous things. If you are not like taking yourself out for a date at that restaurant that you saw on the way home because you think it would be like the best thing ever to like try out their sushi that was on the billboard, like you're not living. Listen to me. Like you have to just like do things that you would love by yourself. Like you have to define yourself that way. That. You know, like I feel like it allows you to feel like so much more free in other aspects of your life when you're fulfilling that to yourself all of the time. You're doing things that you might want to do on a whim just for the heck of it for yourself. And it doesn't even have, you know, because there's obviously a lot of responsibilities. People are moms, they have kids, the whole thing. But if you like make that a priority, I feel like the whole self-love movement is phenomenal and great. But so many times I feel like it's so parroted, like literally the bird, just like they parrot things they hear over and over. And there's not like an actual action plan, like on the other side of that. I feel like the action plan is like the second you see, oh, that would be fun. You don't go home and tell your husband like, hey, that would be fun to go do together. And he's like, okay, cool. Yeah, whatever. Like, or like, yeah, maybe next, you know, and it just never happens. And then you never go. And then like drop everything and you go. You go for 30 minutes and you make it happen. Like you make it and then you love every second of it.
Legit, I have INDEPENDENT. I have it playing in my head. Wait, I just feel like I'm either going to cry
or it's so good.
No, but no joke. Like I've been having like a bad day today. No! Like, we're just getting real for a second. I kind of had like a, like not a great morning. And I needed that message. So thank you. God. Like, we are laughing. We are crying.
All the things.
Right?
All the things. We are learning. Take your freaking self on a date. Do what you want to do. Because you want to do it. Like, I go to the movies by myself all of the time. Like, I want to see.
Oh, I love the movies by myself.
Go see a cartoon without the kids. I'm telling you. It's free. Oh, I mean, so if you like cartoon, you know what I mean? But just like, whatever, whatever, like, you have that little tiny voice inside that's like, oh, that would be fun to like, go do that. Like, go and then love it. Like, you have, when you go, right? It's a, the other like battle is that you, you're like, oh my gosh, so I'm here by myself. I'm not with anyone. Like, what do you mean? Like, no, like, it, all of that is nonsense. You want to be there. You want to do that little fun, little tiny thing that like you thought would be fun and then own it. Love every second of it. Like, giggle to yourself eating your chocolate ganache and like chatting with the waiter. Like, live your best life for that 30 minutes. And like, then everything else like falls into place, right? You start finding joy in everything because you're fulfilling that to yourself. Like, you're not constantly bogged down with trying to like get everybody else on board all the time. It's exhausting.
I'm literally about to take myself out to martinis and arugula.
Yes. Yes. Martini yourself, like under the table. Love it. Right. Like,
I
don't
love
martini
it.
Yourself under the table. That's probably not responsible, but you know, within reason.
So we want, oh. We have a new thing that we want to be doing with all of our guests that oh, is fine. A this or that game.
Okay.
And we're speed fine. Round. Speed round.
Oh God.
So
okay.
We're just going to give you two options and you can only pick one.
You realize that the speed rounds is like the worst nightmare for analytical person.
I know.
Like, the actual worst thing you could ever ask me to do.
Okay. Well, it depends on the day and the weather and the season and the-
yeah, right. Well, listen, in this scenario I would be this. Yes. But in that scenario,
yes. But don't that. Try not to think about it and just like give us your oh, first God. Inkling.
So I can't like problem solve on how I can do both if I really just tweak this thing.
No problem. No problem solving.
Oh no, this is against my entire nature. I'm ready. I'm ready. Okay. Woo.
Okay, you ready?
Mentally prepared.
Let's go.
I'm gonna be like, never mind at like the end of any of this. Actually, you know what? I never mind on that one. I try really hard not to do that.
All right, ready? 3,
yeah.
2, 1. Coffee or tea?
Oh God. I'm struggling on the first one. This is so bad. I love both of them so much. I can't. The English in me is like saying tea, but like the like the consistent drinker. Okay, but guys, listen. Okay, really quick though. I am a holder of both of those. Okay, I don't even drink any of them. I have half drinking tea and coffee around my entire house because I never fully drink any of them. I buy $10 Starbucks and then I hold it. I don't even drink it.
Oh my God, that's me too. Okay, laptop or desktop?
Laptop.
Phone call or text?
Phone call.
Book or magazine?
Audiobook?
Audiobook.
Yes. Dyslexic over here. Can't do book. Can't do either of those.
Champagne or chocolate?
Oh, I mean, champagne. That was even a question.
Mm-hmm. Shopping online or in-store?
So much easier to get deals online, but you get the experience of the store. Oh, my heart hurts. In store.
LV, like Louis Vuitton Damier or Louis Vuitton Monogram?
Monogram because it has higher value. Higher resale value.
Ding, ding. Chanel GST or Chanel Surf Tote?
Chanel Surf Tote. I mean, it's a boss bag. You can't even question that.
It really is.
It really is.
Chanel Classic or Chanel Reissue?
Chanel Classic Reissue doesn't have a better resale value. I mean, these are easy questions now.
Birkin.
Investment all the way.
Birkin or Kelly?
I flip flop on this so much. Me you're too. Literally, you're too. Putting me into it like a life crisis. I constantly question on what, because I really want to get one for my 30th, which is this year. And I have gone with Kelly and then I've gone with Birkin and then I've flip flopped that back and forth so many times. I think I'm going to go with smaller Birkin, like 30, like a Birkin, because you can like get away with it still at night. Mm-hmm. And you don't have the up and down like you do with a Chanel. You know what I mean? I could go into a whole analytical, you know, thesis on it, but I won't.
I could too. Because that was the last question. So I just want to dive in. That's the end. But I do want
to failed that so much. I tried so hard.
You did great. The Birkin, I feel like they're just different bags.
Right.
Like, even though they kind of have like a similar vibe. They're mm-hmm. different.
They're
like
so
the
different.
Kelly for me is a great like work bag or like throw and go bag, even though whatever. Like,
right. Really throwing.
But I am a throw and go kind of gal.
Yeah.
So I love the Kelly with like the strap, but it's hard to get in and out of. The Birkin is easier to get in, but it doesn't have a long strap. It's like, can we find the marriage between them? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I'm such a top handle person too. And I have like a similar bag to the Birkin as far as like the structure of it. And I use that bag so much because it's so easy just getting out. You can grab it, the top handles, but I'm not like loading around kids all the time. So I don't need to have like, you know, crossbody because like my 2-year-old is trying to get in the car seat and I'm like dying of like trying to shove him in there because there's traffic, you know? So I feel like it needs to be a realistic version for your lifestyle a little bit. Like what kind of woman are you, you know?
But like I'm just somewhere in between. So do I just need both?
Yes, 100%. That's the only way, because you'll always get your money back out of them. But listen to me, 100. Don't you dare buy it in America. Go to Paris, get you know, figure it out, get the in on, because it's a roulette game now, you know. You can't even wait in line. You gotta listen here, new plan. Go to Paris with all of the kids and then use all of their passports to apply to get an appointment at Hermes, because it's per passport, right? So you get like 5 chances then, or however, your husband, you know, the kid, the dog, get the dog a passport while you're there.
Oh my gosh, this is apply, what we're doing. We're going to take a whole family trip. There's like 11 of us.
Yes. And then you have 11 chances every single day to get picked. Yeah, every day. And then you go and you got to play the game, the whole thing. But when you get one, then you have tax back. And you have, the prices are like literally less than or almost the same as the Chanel is right now in retail in America. Don't buy it in America, man. I'm telling you, it's not worth it.
Don't do it.
Well, because I mean, you can. You're still going to get your money back out of it, but you can get a lot more profit if you get it in Paris, which, you know, is all, it's my world. You're all about the more profit. It's the only way to live.
It's the only way. You're right. It is the only way.
And you don't have to buy all the, you don't have to get, you know, the whole essay. You can buy like a few pieces, walk in there with, you know, wearing those few pieces, know a lot about the brand. I mean, obviously, you know, play the game and see if you can't. You know who's really good at this? Curator Lab. She has lucky. Have told you those stories? Curator Lab is one of my good girlfriends on Instagram for everyone that's listening. Like, who the heck is that? She is like an Hermes lover. And she has got literally, so I won't, you know, tell her story for you in case you ever have her or something. She has got insanely lucky, not once, not twice, but like 19 times, I feel like, not really, like 3 times. But still, I was like, listen, we're both going to go to Paris. I'm going to buy a Twilly. We're going to dip it in holy water. You're going to bless me before I walk in, because I don't know how you're getting so lucky every time.
Oh my God.
We got to get each 11 Twillies. We're buying 11 Twillies.
11 Twillies. Yeah, right. Gets one.
Have Lauren kiss it and then walk in, you know, wear it in your hair when you walk in.
Yeah, we'll overnight it to Lauren. We'll overnight it back to us.
Yeah. Yes.
I love it. Well, currently, Carter, you are truly the smartest woman.
Yes.
Talking to you is really like talking to a ball of sunshine. You are uplifting. You are encouraging. You are a total girl's girl.
Thank you so much.
Have just given us a PhD in luxury handbags.
Yes.
Among other things.
Yes.
Everybody was like clicking on this as they were like doing their teeth, like, you know, just trying to chill out and like have a nice day. And I gave them like a college course in investment.
Yes. And you know what? Everyone in the comments, say thank you.
Also, one little thing. Like, currently, Carter was the very first person of influence that noticed us.
Oh, that's right.
And trusted us.
Yes, you really were. You were the first when we launched, because, you know, we've been in luxury resale for years. But when we launched our COVID baby,
Right.
Season two, then it was, you really were the first person of influence that
It wasn't like we asked you to, it just happened naturally.
And it was, it really made a huge impact. So we want you to know that we're so grateful for you. And absolutely like in chapter one, paragraph one of this story of ours. We love you.
Good. Well, you guys are all, take all credit for that, because I watched your video and I was like, they're so much fun. They're like me. Yes, we have to be friends. So you pitched yourselves really great.
Thank you. So what is something that listeners should know about you that they may not already know?
Okay. Well, I, in general, did not even get into blogging because I just really wanted to be a blogger. I'm a businesswoman first. I own a couple companies and do startups all the time. So that's really where my like mind goes. I mean, obviously we've listened to the whole, you were trying to do some light, you know, listening before you went to bed and you didn't realize that you signed up for a TED Talk on finance. Sorry, guys. but I think that's kind of my differentiation and my unique unique traits that I bring to the luxury world is that I come at it from a business perspective and I just have a lot of fun with it. Like I get, you know, giddy and laugh at myself over buying like some ridiculously fun little thing on Etsy that I just thought was the best thing in the whole world. And I unboxed that too. And then also a Chanel handbag. So I think it's my biggest goal is to provide value. Cause I think so much of the luxury world is confusing. You know, what essay do you go with? How do you work with essays? How do you buy on, like a resale shop on Instagram, and you know, how do you, you know, find the best deal for you? When should you go with a personal shopper? Like those things are so confusing, and I love to explain the industry side of that and be able to so you can kind of navigate which one is right for you, that kind of thing. So that's a little bit about me. So come follow me, I guess, on at Curling Carter on Instagram, and soon to be YouTube. I'm really thinking I want to do a YouTube, but guys, I need an editor. So a PSA, if you are an editor of videos, I need to hire you, please.
At currently Carter.
Yeah, at DM me.
For sure. We are so grateful for you. Whenever you decide to submit your TED Talk, whatever petition we need to sign, let us know.
I love it. I could do a TED Talk on buying luxury handbags. That's so, why isn't that a thing? That's kind of brilliant, actually.
Yes. Like,
should I Google TED Talk?
Yes.
Yes, 100%.
Oh, man.
Thank you so much. You are absolutely the best. And
yes,
I have a feeling
this is not the last time we get to chat with you.
Yeah. No, oh, good. Absolutely. Love you guys. Thank you for having me.
Guys, if you're not already following us, we are at season2 consign on all platforms, including TikTok and Instagram. We drop knowledge and have fun on all of them.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, please consider rating it and sharing it with your friends. We have so much more to share with you. Thank you for being here, and don't forget to be fearlessly authentic.